We're starting the show today with the story of how the PSNI shunned an elderly lady and refused to investigate her claims that she had been scammed. Her family turned to the police for help and they sent her away again, saying they didn't want to investigate the story. It's also a story that emphasises the power of this show acting on your behalf. So if you do have a story, please contact us, nolan@bbc.co.uk. Stephanie came to the programme about money that had been taken from her elderly disabled mother, Moira, from a tradesman who promised to do work at her property. Now, this was not a cold caller or a case of someone transferring money to a complete stranger they'd never met. The story actually starts with a horrific burglary in March when Moira was held at knife point in her own home. She's registered blind and Moira was advised to replace her front and back doors. And that, in this separate incident that we've been investigating, was the start of her losing hundreds and hundreds of pounds and a chase to try to get it back with the police refusing to help her. This story has an added twist, because despite the family pleading with the police to help, they said it was a civil matter. Well, do you know what? It was never a civil matter. Our reporter, Nicola Weir, went to speak to Stephanie.
Back in March, we had an aggravated burglary at our property. My mum was held at knife point. My mum's registered blind and also has other disabilities. And she was in the property on her own when the incident took place. So we approached a door company and got a quote for a new front and back door. And we specifically went for glass in our door so that my mother's able to see who's at the door without having to open the door. So on the 17th, of August, two fitters from the company turned up with my front and back door to do the job of fitting them. And while they were fitting the doors, one of the fitters had asked us, did we ever think about getting the PVC done on the outside of our house of the facing sulfate and guttering? And he proceeded to give us a quote of £700 and explained that he had an offer on that if we went with the job, we would get our windowsills done for free. So we agreed and we set a date for the 29th of August for him to come back to complete the work.
And you gave a deposit, didn't you? And you got a receipt for that. And you did that under the understanding that you assumed that this gentleman who had arrived called was part of this company who had come to put in your doors.
Yes, that's correct. I assumed that he was a reputable, vetted employee from the door company. And that's the reason why I proceeded with the job with him. I gave him a £140 cash deposit in which he then sent me a receipt through a WhatsApp message on headed paper with his company name on it. So I was under no illusion that he was a reputable person. As I say, he was due to come out to do the work on Thursday the 29th of August. On Wednesday the 28th of August, he contacted me in the morning to say that he was running 3 days behind because he had had a bereavement in his family, and that if I gave him an hour or two, he would try to juggle things about and come back to me of when he would be able to start the project. The evening came and I hadn't heard anything from him, so I sent him a text message asking had he had a chance to come up with a date to start the job. Still no answer. So I tried to contact him by telephone all day on the Thursday with no answer. So I started to panic of why I wasn't getting any communication from him. So I did send him a text message that evening saying, look, I haven't been able to get in contact with you through message or telephone calls, so can we just leave the job? And because I'm within my 14-day cooling off period, can you just return my deposit and we'll forget about it? No response for that. And then on the Friday at around lunchtime, he rang me and said that he was sorry that he hadn't been in contact, that he'd smashed his phone and that he was waiting on his mobile number transferring onto a new SIM card. I'd obviously felt very sympathised with him because he had said that obviously his father had passed away. He proceeded to tell me that because of his father passing away and the fact that he'd taken time off work, he didn't have the funds to pay for the materials to be able to come out and do the job. So if I was to bank transfer him the £200, he would go straight away, lift the materials and come out to my home the following morning. I sent him the bank transfer. He confirmed that he'd received it by text and said that he was on his way to collect the materials and that he would see me at 10 o'clock the next morning. 10:30 came on Saturday the 30th. He hadn't arrived. I sort of thought maybe he's got stuck in traffic or he was running late. By 10:45, I was really starting to panic because I'd had no communication of why he hadn't turned up. I tried to contact him by telephone to find out that he had blocked my number. I then went on to WhatsApp to message him to find out that he had blocked me on WhatsApp. So I did contact the police on 101. I explained the situation to them and they said that they would pass it on to a police officer and someone would be in touch with me. So I think it was around 7 o'clock that evening. A constable rang me and said that they had tried to contact him 4 times and they'd left a voicemail for him to return the call and that he was going off duty and someone would pick it up the next morning. Sunday came and another female constable contacted me and said that he still hadn't returned the calls. So the next stage was for them to book an appointment with me to come into my local station and make a formal statement. I went in on Friday the 6th and I spoke to a female constable. I brought all the evidence with me of the receipt that he had given me. I printed out the communication through text and everything with him that how I tried to contact him.
So his telephone number, his business address, everything.
Everything was on it, yes. And I was told that there was nothing they could do, that it was a civil matter.
So you went in and you said, my disabled mother, who is registered blind, who was held at knife point in March and robbed, the reason why we put in the doors in the first place was really to help her. You had all the evidence that would lead them to...
Yeah.
And they said, sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah, that's correct. So she went and spoke to her sergeant, but she came back and said no, that he had said that it is a civil matter and that they wouldn't even be able to run a search on this person because they weren't dealing with it and they have to have a reason to run a search. I mean, I said to the police officer, really what you're saying is I could go around my neighbourhood, pose as a painter and decorator, go in, quote a job, take deposits and never turn up to do the work and there's nothing within the law that anyone can do. And she had to agree where I was coming from was true. She did apologise. Obviously, her hands were tied. Her sergeant had said that it was a civil matter. However, she did say, look, while you're here, why don't we give him a ring, see if he answers, see what he has to say for himself. So he rang and he answered. And he said that the reason why...
So answered the phone in the police station?
Yes.
And spoke to this police officer?
I had the phone on speaker, so he was speaking to me, but the police officer was there.
Okay. And what did he say?
He just said that he was in hospital, that he had tried to commit suicide. And I had said that I was extremely sorry to hear that, but he had to understand where I was coming from, that I was very dubious whether he was telling the truth or not, and that he hadn't been in contact with me to let me know that it was nearly, well, it was 6 days after he was supposed to turn up. And I thought, even out of respect, that a text message could have been sent to me to say, look, sorry I didn't turn up, I'm actually in hospital, as soon as I might, I'll be in contact with you. But I didn't receive anything like that. So he did. I said, look, I want my money back because you've taken my money. You haven't turned up to do a job and you haven't been in any contact to explain why you haven't turned up. He said that he would get his partner to transfer it either that day or by the very latest on Tuesday.
So you just said, look, I want my money back. We'll just cut our ties here. I want my £340 back.
Yes, that's correct. He agreed then that his partner would transfer it either that Friday or by the very latest on the Tuesday. The Tuesday came, I had texted him to say around sort of lunchtime, what time do you plan on transferring the money? For a text message to come back and say, you're out of your 14-day refund period and I will have to do some work in order to get the money to be able to transfer it back to you.
So he said, sorry, after saying you're getting your money, he then turned around and said, you're out of your 14-day cooling off period and basically tough.
Yeah.
So you've come to us and said, look, is there anything that we can do to help you? And we have been in touch with the police to find out what is going on. We're constantly being told, look out for our neighbours, look out for any fraud, look out for any suspicious activity. And we did give them a ring. So any updates? Has our intervention helped at all?
Yes, it has. I have a police officer from the Special Fraud Department coming out to my home at 2:30 this afternoon to discuss the matter and for to help resolve the matter.
Would you have expected just a wee bit more help from the PSNI?
Yes, I certainly did. I mean, I was quite shocked when they said to me that there's nothing they can do, that it is a civil matter. To me, it's theft and fraud. This person took money off me for a service. They didn't provide the service and absconded with the money. And, I mean, we're nearly a month later and the money still has not been returned.
So there is an update to this story. The PSNI have done a complete U-turn on this story. I've been speaking to Stephanie earlier this morning and I gave her the good news that at least the police are now prepared to investigate. Okay. Well, Stephanie's with us now. Stephanie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, Stephanie, the police might have been standing their ground, but not anymore. They've changed their mind.
Yeah, that's correct. Only with the intervention from yourself.
What do you make of that? Like, it shouldn't work like that.
No, it really shouldn't. I mean, it doesn't leave the public with much hope from the PSNI in the fact that if yourselves hadn't intervened, this would not have turned into a criminal matter, or it wouldn't be being investigated by the police. It would still be to them a civil matter.
And did you push them when they were refusing to investigate? Did you push them or what happened?
Well, when I went into the police station and spoke to the constable with the evidence that I gave her, which is the same evidence that I have still given to the police now, she went and spoke to her sergeant because I think she was unsure of what way to turn. But she came back to me and said no, that her sergeant had said that it was a civil matter and that there was nothing they could do.
Now, how did that make you feel?
Let down, to be honest, because I had all the evidence given to them, which I've still give to them now. And I didn't know where to turn to. They just gave me a leaflet, told me to contact the Citizens Advice Bureau.
And this was someone who was refusing to hand any money back to your elderly disabled mother, and the police didn't want to know.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I had given him, before going to the police, ample time to come, carry out the job and return the money. But he hadn't done either.
How is your mum?
She's very shaken up by it. She's a little bit better now, the fact that the police are looking into it. But as I say, it's only with your intervention that they're doing this. Without your intervention, it would still be a civil matter in their eyes.
And your mum's been through enough, right? She's obviously been held at knife point in a completely separate incident. My goodness, has she even recovered from that yet?
No, she hasn't, to be quite honest. That's the reason, sort of, why we put in our new doors, was to let my mum be able to see who's at her door without even having to open it.
What impact long-term has that had on her?
She doesn't want to be in the house on her own. And she's just very fearful, to be quite honest. She doesn't feel safe in her own house.
And then she had to go through this as well.
Yeah, on top of it. Yeah, it's not nice at all.
Have you had a chance to tell her yet that the police now are investigating this different incident?
No, not this morning. So I don't know what her reaction's going to be regarding it. But I assume that she will be happy in the sense that they are going to investigate it.
Yeah, the police have said, following a review of the circumstances of this incident, specialist detectives from the PSNI Economic Crime Unit have now commenced a criminal investigation. We will also conduct a review of the incident, and where there's any learning to be gained from the incident, this will be reflected upon and adopted as we continue to do our job to protect the community. As a criminal investigation is now ongoing, it would be inappropriate to comment any further on the details of the case. It's important, say the PSNI, that nothing is said that might compromise the investigation. I would like to take this opportunity to encourage any victim or people acting on their behalf to report any activity that raises suspicions to police.
The police officer that did come out to my home last week did apologise. But then again, as I say, if you hadn't intervened, he wouldn't even have been sitting in my home. And I would still be hitting brick walls of how to proceed to get this situation resolved.
Okay. Well, look, I'm glad that there's at least an opportunity for this to be investigated now. And I wish you and your mum well.
Thank you very much. And thank you to you and all your team. As I say, without your help, I wouldn't be speaking to you. And I wouldn't have even been speaking to the police last week, because to them it was still a civil matter.
Right. So just to remind you, if you do want to send us a story, Nolan at bbc.co.uk.